Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and if I'm not, I'd like to be. I really want to be your pastor. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in 1 Samuel. This is chapter 17, and there are 58 verses in this chapter. And we do have three letters to read today also. But before we do this, let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. This tape. Lord, we thank you. We know that your word is seed, and we cannot win souls by praying for them, because praying for a person is the same as putting fertilizer on bare ground and watering it. But still, in order for something to grow in that ground, there has to be seed. So fertilizer and water does not do the job. The world cannot be saved unless there are preachers preaching the gospel. There's so many people today, Lord, that are praying for souls to be saved, but they are unfruitful and they are unscriptural, because there's nothing that has the power in it that the gospel does, the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It doesn't say that prayer is the power unto salvation. It says that the gospel, the word of God, is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe the word. Now, there's so many people that just really think, Father, that the world is going to be saved by their prayers, their stupid prayers. And their prayers are stupid because they think that people are going to get saved by them. They pray, Lord, but they don't witness. They don't sow the seed. And I ask, Lord, that on this tape that we're sowing seed into the hearer, that it brings forth life. Because if there's no seed sown, then there's no life going to come out of just somebody praying for somebody. People say, "Will you pray for my mother or my grandmother that they'll be saved?" I always tell them, and Lord, you know that I would not pray for them to be saved, but I say, give me a tape and I'll give them a message. Tell me about them. Do they believe? Well, they don't really believe and they don't do this. Okay, now I'll do a message. Turn the tape on and then I'll sow some seed into them so that there can be something in them that can grow. And Lord, we ask that you anoint your word, because your word is spirit and life, and its seed, the word has the spirit of life in it, the spirit of supernatural, immortal life. And the people in this church, if they were out there like anyone that's out there sowing the seed, like Buster does, they're going to bring souls into the church. But the church is going to be very stagnant, and it's not going to grow if they think that they can hide behind a false doctrine of that they can pray that souls will come into the church. This is what Pat Boone told me and everybody at a service at the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen's service in Beverly Hills. And I asked you, Lord, to let me, if you want me to rebuke him really hard. I knew this as a baby Christian, that you can't pray people into the church. Hypocrites do that, the lazy people that don't want to sow seed. And if we don't sow seed, then we're not sowers of seed, and we're not in your army. We're not in the Christian army. That's why these tracts are so powerful. We know that when people distribute the literature, and people read the seed, they're reading the power of God unto salvation. And if they believe, they're saved. And then they, when the seed germinates in them, and they go out with the tracts, they want more tracts so they can distribute them around. This is how people get saved. Now, we can pray to you, Lord, when there's problems and we need different things. You said ask, and but as far as winning souls, you've already told us that we have to sow a seed. Go into all the world and plant the seed. preach the gospel, preach the word, not pray, but preach! And pray that God will continue giving you the strength to preach the word. Those that don't distribute the literature, those that don't preach the word, are unfruitful. And they don't believe correctly. They're into false doctrine. And this church is full of it. One person, Buster, out there, Buster White, he's out there distributing literature all day long, and he's out there witnessing with the word all day long, and he brings in over 100 souls every time we have a great gathering together. And his family's getting saved, and it's not by him just staying in a corner someplace and praying, but he utters the word. And I utter the word, and that's why you see so many of these letters coming in, you people. Father, we ask that you impress upon the people of the world in the body of Christ that they are to be sowers of the seed. We're to go into all the nations preaching, not praying, but preaching the word. There's so many people that go over to Greece and different places like that, to Ephesus, and they say, we're going to pray that God will break that power of Diana. The power of Diana was broken by Paul preaching the gospel. Oh, we're going to cast out demons by praying. No, you cast out demons every time I preach the gospel. People can be witch doctors. People, Father, can be totally possessed with the devil. But when they hear the gospel and it enters into their heart, your word casts the devils out. It's your word. With your word, the Spirit, that's what casts them out. But we see all kinds of heretics going on. I cast you out, Satan. They can't cast anyone out. Your word casts demons out, is what it is, Father. And so we ask that you anoint this word, and that you straighten people's spirits out to where they're no longer in false doctrine, so that they become fruitful and they multiply souls into the house of God by getting out of their houses and getting on the streets and carrying the literature and distributing it to every creature they come in contact, so that the church will be filled. With new wine, with a new harvest of people, and that the people in the church will be taught that they must be preachers of the word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the truth. I'm not ashamed to preach it, because it's the power of God that brings people unto salvation when it's preached into them and they believe it and receive it. Nowhere does it say, I'm not ashamed of the prayer of God, because it's the power of God unto salvation to win souls and bring them into the house of God. You want to pray? Well, we could pray that God will open their hearts, and so the Spirit will either, yes, you pray that if you want to, but you've got to preach the word with it, or nothing will happen. And we can pray that you'll raise up people in areas that were not, that they'll go out and preach the gospel, because no one's going to get saved without the preaching of the word. So anoint this, Lord, in the letters, in the commentaries, translations, and make the people come to see the light, to see the straight and narrow way that people are able to enter into the kingdom of God, and to get out of this heretical thinking, this heretical school of thought, that they're just doing so wonderfully when they sit around and don't preach the gospel, that they clam up, that they don't talk. Because if we know the gospel and we don't preach it, then that's sin. If we're not concerned about winning souls, and if we think that we can win souls by doing that which is different than what your gospel says, the gospel, your gospel, Lord, says, preach the word, or publish the word, and get it everywhere. And you told me that if we get the gospel out everywhere, we will not be destroyed, but if we don't, we will be. And Lord, I ask, and some people now are so tired, they say, well, we just got something else to do rather than to go out and witness and distribute literature. We just can't find anybody to go out. Well, Lord, what will you do to these people on the final day of judgment that are just too tired? Their flesh is weak. Yes, the flesh is weak, but your spirit is strong. And the gospel is strong. It is the power. The word of God is the power that brings people unto salvation, if they believe. And if we believe, we're going to get out and preach the word. Amen?
Amen.
Lord God, we thank you and praise you that you've heard this prayer, and that you've and for this instruction from your word. Diana doesn't even exist anymore. And she doesn't exist anymore because of Paul. Paul preached the gospel, and that's what broke the satanic spirit of Diana. Now, there's so many people, Father, that have been saved and demons cast up by my preaching the gospel. And by anyone who preaches the gospel, the demons just depart. We have letters from witch doctors and everything. They said they read the literature, and the demons, something happened inside of them. You entered into them, and the dead demons fled. It's the preaching of the word of God, or the publishing and distribution of the publishing of the word of God, that is the power of God unto salvation. The churches all over the world have been dwarfed because of this false teaching that they can pray people into salvation. I prayed the other day that a person would be saved, Buster's, one of Buster's relatives. And I said, Lord, I can't be there, but send somebody, or give her a vision or something like that. But that God's not going to do that if we're reluctant to put the gospel out. The Lord blesses me, Father, you do, because I preach the gospel. And you know I can't be everywhere. And so the woman was a hater of the gospel, and she believed it and got saved. And it was just a day or two late. I felt the Spirit. Buster was in the kitchen when I prayed, and I think Tommy was, or somebody was in there. Bert and Ben Edwards, when I prayed, oh God, I can't be there. Do something, do a supernatural thing that'll just make her believe like you did me. But without me sowing the word, you would not honor that kind of a prayer from me. If I didn't believe wholeheartedly in preaching the word. And she'd been getting tracts, and she started reading the tracts, and she's saved now. And she had a bad heart. And she went to the doctor the other day, and I just got a report from Buster that her heart is completely healed. Completely healed. Because she believed the gospel, and she believed for healing as well. Hallelujah! Okay, now you people, I just pray that you people will receive the word of God and do what he says. Get out there now. And we'll have more people than we... So many people in this church, we won't... We're going to have to get more facilities for them to live in. We just had another person move in the other day that I witnessed to down at the music store. He came in. And I got him in here. And he moved in last night. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But it's from the preaching of the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
And he's a good musician and a good singer. And it's wonderful. Amen?
Amen?
This is the glory of God. It's the gospel. Don't be ashamed of getting the word out, because if you're ashamed of the Lord here on this side of eternity, he's going to be ashamed of you before his Father and the holy angels. He'll say, depart from me. You're ashamed of me, you little twerp. Oh, are you ashamed of me? Depart, you wicked. Oh, Father God, thank you for giving us this message. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's go with the letters here. Is this June?
No.
Who is it?
Michelle.
Michelle's going to read the letters. All right.
Good. Dear Pastor, I hope by the grace of God everything is moving on smoothly in your situation as I am. I am a boy of 18 years old, and my main aim for writing you this letter is that I got one of your gospel literature from...
Where's this from, incidentally?
From Ghana,
okay.
Africa.
Okay, then what?
My main aim for writing you this letter is that I got one of your gospel literature from one of my friends.
See, it's the literature. He didn't get a prayer. Huh?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
He got the word, the gospel. Then what?
And after reading, I have now received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Right, and every demon that was in him went out. That's the word casts out the devil, amen?
Amen.
Not me, the word, amen?
Amen.
I can't get anybody saved, but the word gets them saved, amen? The seed. That's why it's important. So get a bag full of seed and go out and sow it. Now, Buster's a young Christian, and you don't have to be a genius to go out and sow seed, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Why, some of you people, you figure if I give you a sack of watermelon seeds or, you know, carrots or something, you can go out there and plant them, and it's meant, no matter how dumb you are, they'll grow, right, if you just put them in the soil. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Well, that's the way it is with the word of the Lord. You go out there, I don't care how long you've been saved, you just get out there and start sowing that seed, and it's not going to return void. Somebody's going to get saved. Amen?
Amen?
And look at all the souls that Buster's winning. Even his wife, that never called him sir before in her life, and just as of recent, she calls him sir. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so then what? It's the seed, the word. Then what else?
I want you to help me to know more about God.
See, there's a hunger and thirst that came in. He wants more seed, which also does the watering now. Now he can be fertilized and watered. You don't put fertilizer and water on a bare ground and don't sow seed in there. What's the point? You don't pray for somebody without sowing seed in them. Amen?
Amen.
Do you think anything's going to grow if you don't put seed in there?
No.
Why? What a stupid question, right? Why? Okay. Okay, what else?
Pastor, I will be happy if I will get some of your gospel literature, gospel cassettes, and one of your holy Bibles.
Yeah, because he knows he's going to hear the truth, and the truth is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus, when you hear Jesus, you open up the door and Jesus comes in, the Word. Amen?
Amen.
And you know you're alive. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, then what?
So that I can read and become a full Christian.
See? I mean, what he really means is a full, to the full stature of Jesus. Amen? He knows, he's just young, we got saved, and he still knows. Gives me cold chills just to think about this. Amen? Amen? When I hear this. Then what?
Pastor, have mercy upon me and attend to my request.
Yes, well, the Lord had mercy on me, and so, and the mercy the Lord had mercy on you that are working in the tract room, in the literature room. Make sure you get that right immediately to this man or woman, whoever it is. Then what?
Because it is one of your literatures which has repented me from such a situation.
Yeah, but it's actually the word of the Lord in there, the seed. I just wrote it down. And that's all you have to do is distribute it or articulate it to people, and it'll take hold. As they say down south, it'll take hold. No, it'll take hold in their soul. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
So please try to send more of your literature, especially the Bible.
Amen, brother. I can tell this is a brother. Amen?
Amen.
This isn't no phony baloney. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? And he's asking, and by George, and by the name of Jesus, he's going to receive. You know, when you ask, you receive, right?
Amen.
Okay, then what? That's the word of God. That's the seed. Okay, and the seed also is, by my stripes you were healed. Now, if you believe that seed, if it takes hold in you, then you're healed. Okay? That's it. That's just the way it is. You take, it takes hold in you that the Lord is your Savior, and you need the Lord, and that's all you need. You don't need Christianity. You need Christ, the Lord. You're the Lord, and you're saved. Amen?
Amen.
The Word saves you, and the Word heals you, and the Word gives you prosperity. Whatsoever you believe, if you believe that you have it already, it's yours. Wow, this is a great message. It's powerful. It's power-packed, you know, right to the hilt. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I will end here. I am praying for you that the Lord may give you long life to do His work.
See, he's praying that I'll have long life. That's good, you know. I mean, the man is appreciative, and he's saying, and do what? Give me long life, and what else?
To do His work.
To do His, in other words, to get the word out. To continue sowing the seed. If you don't sow seed, then don't expect God to bless you. Well, what are we supposed to do? You know, I mean, you're to be sowers of the seed. Everybody's told to preach the word. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't tell you to just, the last things he said before he left this world to ascend it up to his Father in heaven was, preach the word. Go to every nation preaching the gospel. The truth, the word. Because the power of God is the gospel. The power of God to those who believe. I'm not ashamed of the gospel before it's the power of God. But there's an if there, if you believe. Power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Yours in Christ, I.A. from Bojaisi, Ghana.
So, this guy from Bojaisi, he's in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I thought... Dyer was a funny name, but Ojaisi. Where are you from? Ojaisi. Right, okay, well, it doesn't matter where he's from. Now he's in the kingdom of heaven, amen?
Amen.
He's sitting with Christ in, not in Christianity, but in Christ in higher places. The Bible doesn't say, believe on Christianity and thou shalt be saved. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Christ. Not this false Christianity religion that you see today, but Jesus Christ himself, the person Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the next letter is from where?
Andansi, Ghana.
Andansi. Okay, then what? Let's hear that.
Dear brethren in Christ, the Lord God has given me this great opportunity to inform you of this letter. Please, how are you? I hope by the grace and mercy of our Savior Jesus Christ you are well, as I am here by his grace. The main reason for this letter...
And his grace means power. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The main reason for this letter is this. Please, Pastor, I have received one of your literatures entitled The Pope's Secrets, but the problem is that I don't have a Holy Bible to support it any time I learn. Through you, the Lord is really saving mankind through
okay.
your literature.
Yeah, through the literature, through the seed, the word that the Lord has given me. Not me, but the Lord needs faithful people to sow the seed. The word's already there. All we got to do is just like going out in the barn, and the seed, the word's got, I mean, the seed has got the spirit of and life in it, but we have to throw it into the ground, you know, into human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that going to grow? Nothing's going to happen. If you put a bag of seeds in there for 100 years in a bag, if it don't get out of the bag, it's going to stay in the bag, and it's not going to do anything. Amen?
Amen?
But once you fertilize the ground and water it a little bit, harrow it, plow it up a little bit, and you preach that word into people, then it's when we see the happenings. Amen?
Amen?
And then they're going to say, later with the happenings of this world, we're going to be in the happenings of the Lord. Amen? 100% for the happenings. Now they're in the spiritual realm. You can look at the things in this world here, and some people just can't believe anything that they can't hear, see, smell, or any of their senses, touch, feel, sniff, whatever the senses are. But, you know, when you get into the spiritual realm, well, then you see spiritually. But carnal people can't see anything that they can't see with their carnal eyes. But when you become spiritual, you can see spiritually. You can see above the clouds. Amen? Amen. You can see the kingdom of heaven. You can see above the mountains. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, then what?
We thank God and you as well, because I and my parents are now saved through that literature.
Yeah, through the words, the seed, God's word, not mine, the word of the Lord. How do you think all these people are getting saved? People say, well, you're a cult. How can I be a cult when I'm just sowing the seed, the word of God? Amen? Amen. They're the cult for saying such a thing as that. Because you never hear them preaching the word. Mm-mm. They've appointed themselves self-appointed critics. And they're those carnal ones that can't can't see anything other than what they can see with their carnal eyes. They can't hear anything. If it's supernatural to them, it's crazy. All they can smell is the earth. All they can touch is the earth. All they can taste is what they put in their mouth. But the Bible says, taste of the Lord, the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
And see that He is good. How do you think these people got saved, and they're now saved, and they're now happy in a world that's full of turmoil and trouble and heartache and heartbreak? And they're happy now, amen?
Amen?
And they've got peace in their hearts. The people that all they know is their five senses, human senses, they're not at peace. They're scared to death. We have a letter from a guy that's scared to death that wants to come and hide underneath our wings or our armpits. Okay, go ahead.
Because my parents and I were members of the Catholic Church here in Ghana.
Yeah, I see. Okay, then what else?
But because of your literature, we have now stopped attending the Roman Catholic Church.
Now people wonder why the Vatican is so angry at me and brings all these false accusations. It's because we're showing people that the devil's church is not the right church. And so what else can they do but say that I'm a cult, huh? Mm-hmm. They call Jesus a cult. They call Paul a cult. A sect, you know. Okay, then what?
Because it is perfectly true, they are winning souls for Satan, the devil, into everlasting fire the Lord has prepared for Satan and his angels.
Right, that's what they're doing, is winning souls to go to hell for Satan. But I would rather win souls for the Lord, amen?
Amen.
And by not my words, but by the word of the Lord. Because by the word of the Lord, He formed everything that we see and the things that we cannot see. So the supernatural, the invisible, is far more powerful than that which we see with our carnal eyes. Amen?
Amen.
And that we hear with our ears or smell with our nose or taste or touch. Amen?
Amen.
Taste with our tongue and touch with our hands. All right, then what?
Please, I need more of your books entitled Messiah. Please, I need more of your literatures so that I can distribute them to my friends who are still in the Catholic Church.
See, you don't hate the Catholics. This man is a Catholic. And if I hated him, then why is he saved now? Tell me that. I would love to hear the Pope got saved, you know, from the Lord's Word. Well, it's the gospel according to Tony Lama. No, it is not according to me. It is what I believe from the Lord, and that's what got me saved. And now this man got saved, and now he wants to pass it on to others. That shows that the man really got saved. He knows he didn't receive anything from that cult. And so, but now he got saved, and now he wants to go back to them and rescue them from hell. Okay, then what else? I mean, I love this brother already. Amen?
Amen.
He's got a good heart. He wants to sow the seed. He wants to be a sower of the seed. Both of these guys here, these new brothers, That's how I know they're saved. Amen?
Amen.
A sower went out to sow. So what? Our words? No. Our words are worthless. I never won anything in my life. I never even won a raffle before. I was saved, but now I win souls. Amen?
Amen.
By just passing on the seed. The Spirit. The Word of God. The life. Then what?
Please, Pastor, I need a Holy Bible to support it any time I learn.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you to fight the good fight, and your labor will not be in vain.
I know. I got a letter from you. That wasn't vain. I know. I get these letters all the time, my friend. Okay, what else?
Thank you, and God bless you. Yours faithfully, M.B. from Adansi, Ghana.
Okay, praise the Lord. Now, here's this gentleman from Los Angeles. He's afraid that these terrorists are going to blow Los Angeles up. And so I wrote him back telling him that, no, the terrorists are not going to destroy Los Angeles. The Lord will. Okay? And San Francisco and New York if people don't repent. But the people of Nineveh, I mean, God was going to destroy them, and they repented, and the Lord didn't destroy them. Now, repenting means that you're not going to go into some church that's teaching false doctrine, but you're going to go into a church that really teaches the Word. Now, to me, we're not looking out for your money at all. The Lord doesn't want your money. He wants your soul. He wants your heart, your soul, your mind. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Hello, my name is Damien from Los Angeles. I and a friend of mine have visited your website. I have not finished reading all of it. I have an honest and a very serious question to ask of you. If you are able to help, that would be so great. If not, I can understand. As you know, we face terror threats from abroad every day, and our city is not really all that safe to be in at all. If there is any impending serious terrorist attack in Los Angeles, such as a chemical or a biological attack, can I and a friend of mine come take refuge at your place in Arkansas temporarily?
See, they trust us above everybody else in this world. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then what?
Apart from Los Angeles, we have literally nowhere else to turn to for help. I live in Los Angeles and my friend lives in Mission Viejo. Please let me know if this kind of arrangement can be accommodated, if these bad and evil things happen. I don't mean to sound needy or paranoid. I am not. But because we live in this very uncertain time, that a threat from abroad is a very real and distinct possibility, real enough to snuff out our lives in an instant.
Yeah, you ought to be more afraid also of the threat from the White House. That's where it's all coming from. Rome and the White House. Okay. They all were in on the deal, according to government agents. Okay, then what else?
I bid you Godspeed, nevertheless.
Well, praise the Lord. I sent a word back to him saying, you know, these different terrorists, they don't want to destroy America. They like America, and they're trying to keep it smog-free. That's why they sent, they closed down the steel mills over in Cleveland and the automobile factories and stuff like that. A lot of industry has gone over to seas. And even the garment manufacturing that's overseas now, it's over in Taiwan and Korea and China, all over China. And then also the automobile manufacturing in Japan and Germany, which were our enemies in World War II. And also the manufacturing of all kinds of things are over there. And even in Mexico now, they've opened that up. And the Mexicans and all these third world countries that are so poverty stricken are very happy to receive the industry, but the elite, what they call themselves, is the elite religionists, these false people that call themselves Christians. That's why I'm saying, you know, Christianity is not, the people that call themselves Christians, there's so many of them that do that, that it's hard to determine what really is a Christian, but you don't need Christianity, you need Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you need. If you got Christ, you've got it all. So stay out of religion and just have Christ. Be led by the Lord. So, what it is they're moving everything out because these, they call themselves elite, they want to use the United States as a nice park for themselves to live in. They say, we've got enough poets, we've got enough singers, we've got enough everything, and that's why they want to stop people being married and having children, because they don't want any more what they call sweaty people. Because there's so many people, and we got to support them and everything, and they get sick and all that. And so they're trying to kill off the world population. The only ones that they get, like, unbelievably good Medicare, and they, but they don't have the Lord to heal them. And God's given them all kinds of bad diseases. He killed off the Kennedys. And now Clinton got 4 bypasses. And his face got so skinny, you know. He used to look kind of fat in the face. Now he looks kind of like one of them Arkansas chickens. And there's going to be more, too, if he doesn't repent. And that we want them to repent. And Bush as well. But they just think they've got, they're going to, that they have the power to shape humanity, and they're going to make this a big park for them, America, to live in, because they just think, you know, this is a good place to live. And so they're taking all of the industry out and all that, and so there'll be no smog, and they'll just be here until they die, and their loved ones. But God's going to turn the table on. So I sent this man a letter in that regard, telling him you don't have to worry about the terrorists destroying this nation, because these terrorists are in it with the Catholics. The Muslims and the Catholics are one. It was, I have a piece of literature, and I want to finish that, if possible, today, where it shows that the Muslims are an organization that was started by the Catholic cult to do a lot of dirty work for the Pope, so that the Catholics, the cult, doesn't get blamed for it. And so that's what, so, you know, it'd be rather bad for the Catholics to say, we want to destroy everybody. But no, they don't. They have the Muslims doing that. Now they're saying all Christians must die, all white people must die, all blacks must die, all Jews must die. And the Catholics, the Pope just sits there with the innocent look on his face and says, oh, this is just awful. And he's the one that's causing abortion. He's saying, I just hate abortion. And he runs the government. All he'd have to do is just make a law that it's against, he's against, that the law of the land is against abortion. Anyone doing it is going to be tried for murder and be put to death. But he doesn't. He just acts like he's very weak and mild, and wrings his hands and says, I hate abortion. And I hate homosexuality, when he himself is one of the biggest homosexuals and a molester of child molesters that there ever was. Now, if they're going to try Michael Jackson, they ought to bring that Pope, because he's a fugitive from justice from World War II, because he helped kill over 6 million, 7 million Jews and other people too with that cyanide gas. He worked for IG Farben and manufactured the gas and sold the stuff. After World War II, he escaped to Argentina, and then the Argentina from there, they took him into the Vatican and hid him. And for the great work of killing so many Jews, they made him a cardinal and then a pope. That was his reward. So who are you going to believe? This guy that just, they did a whole thing on him yesterday on the national television on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Jan and Paul Crouch sponsors the Pope. And so does the Crystal Cathedral. And all these people that they let on that network are Catholics. Benny Hinn and a whole bunch of them. But, you know, that me telling you these things is not really going to save your soul, but it's warning you not to get involved with them. That's what it is. So we want to get here onto winning your souls. And the only thing that's going to do that is the good seed, the Word of God. And so we're going to start on that right now. And the seed, the good word, tells you stay away from Rome and all its affiliations. Okay? So I have to warn you about it. It's in the Bible. You understand?
Yes.
Hopefully you understand out there in radio land as well. Okay? I say, let's go. So now this has to do with this Goliath threatening Israel and the Philistines. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's read the header and let's get going on verse 1.
1 Samuel chapter 17, the giant Goliath challenges the Israelites. King James Version, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Soho, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoko and Azekah in Ephes Damim. Translation, verse 1. The giant Goliath challenges the Israelites. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Soko, S-O-C-O-H, in Judah, and Azekah, A-Z-E-K-A-H, at Ephes Damim, E-P-H-E-S-D-A-M-M-I-M. King James Version, verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. Verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Verse 5. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Translation, verse 2 through 5. Saul countered by gathering his troops near the valley of Elah. Verse 3. The Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Verse 4. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was a giant of a man, measuring over 9 feet tall! Exclamation mark. Verse 5. He wore a bronze...
Now how many cubits? It's 9 feet.
It's 6 cubits and a span.
6 cubits and a span, so it's about, it's 9 feet. Okay? Most people don't know what a cubit is, all right? Go ahead now.
Verse 5. He wore a bronze helmet and a coat of mail that weighed 125 pounds. King James Version, verse 6. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. Verse 7. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Translation, verse 6 through 7. He also wore bronze leggings, and he slung a bronze javelin over his back. Verse 7. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. An armor-bearer walked ahead of him carrying a huge shield. King James Version, verse 8.
The head of the spear weighed 15 pounds. It would not feel good going into your chest. And then what else? Or any other part of your body. Okay, what else?
And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Verse 9. If he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Verse 10. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Verse 13. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. Verse 14. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. Verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. Verse 18. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Translation, verse 8 through 18. Goliath stood and shouted across to the Israelites, quote, Do you need a whole army to settle this? Choose someone to fight for you, and I will represent the Philistines. We will settle this dispute in single combat! Verse 9. If your man is able to kill me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves! Verse 10. I defy the armies of Israel! Send me a man who will fight with me! Unquote. Verse 11. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Jesse sends David to Saul's camp.
See, if they remembered that God overthrew Egypt and opened the Red Sea, why would they be afraid? Amen?
Amen.
God be with you, who could be against you? Okay? They have to rely on a little midget to go out there and kill him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 12. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephrathite from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had 8 sons in all. Verse 13. Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. Verse 14. David was the youngest of Jesse's sons. Since David's 3 oldest brothers were in the army, they stayed with Saul's forces all the time. Verse 15. But David went back and forth between working for Saul and helping his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. Verse 16. For 40 days, twice a day, morning and evening, the Philistine giant strutted in front of the Israelite army. Verse 17. One day Jesse said to David, quote, Take this half bushel of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers. Verse 18. And give these 10 types of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along, and bring me back a letter from them. Unquote. King James Version, verse 19.
Well, I'd say what? This is 53 verses. It'll be 58 verses. It'll be 116 verses. We do. So we'll just go through the translation.
Verse 19. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Verse 20. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts. He arrived at the outskirts of the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Verse 21. Soon the Israelites and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. Verse 22. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. Verse 23. As he was talking with them, he saw Goliath, the champion from Gath, come out from the Philistine ranks, shouting his challenge to the army of Israel. Verse 24. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to turn away in fright. Verse 25. Quote, Have you seen the giant? The men were asking. He comes out each day to challenge Israel. And have you heard about the huge reward the king has offered to anyone who kills him? The king will give him one of his daughters for a wife, and his whole family will be exempted from paying taxes! Unquote. Verse 26. David talked to some others standing there to verify the report. Quote, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and putting an end to his abuse of Israel?" Unquote, he asked them. Quote, "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" Unquote. Verse 27. And David received the same reply as before. Quote, "What you have been hearing is true. This is the reward for killing the giant." Unquote. Verse 28. But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. Quote, "What are you doing around here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and dishonesty. You just want to see the battle!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 29, quote, "What have I done now?" David replied. "I was only asking a question!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 30, he walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Verse 31, then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. David kills Goliath. Verse 32, quote, "Don't worry about a thing," David told Saul. "I'll go fight this Philistine!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 33, quote, "Don't be ridiculous!" Exclamation mark, Saul replied. "There is no way you can go against this Philistine. You are only a boy, and he has been in the army since he was a boy!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 34, but David persisted. Quote, "I have been taking care of my father's sheep," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock," verse 35, "I go after it with a club and take the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death." Verse 36, "I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine as well, for he has defied the armies of the living God!" Exclamation mark. Verse 37, "The Lord who saved me from the claws of the lion and the bear will save me from this Philistine!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Saul finally consented. Quote, "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 38, then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. Verse 39, David put it on, strapped a sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. Quote, "I can't go in these," he protested. "I'm not used to them," unquote. So he took them off again. Verse 40, he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across to fight Goliath. Verse 41.
Yeah, so people say, well, if he was of the Lord, why did he pick up 5 stones? He should have known that one would have gone. Goliath had 4 brothers. Amen?
Amen.
Just in case they start trying to stand up for their bro. And then what?
Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him. Verse 42. Sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Verse 43, quote, "Am I a dog," he roared at David, "that you come to me with a stick?" Unquote. And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Verse 44, quote, "Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals." Unquote, Goliath yelled. Verse 45, David shouted in reply, quote, "You come to me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Verse 46, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel!" Exclamation mark. Verse 47, "And everyone will know that the Lord does not need weapons to rescue his people. It is his battle, not ours. The Lord will give you to us!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 48, as Goliath moved closer to attack David, David quickly ran out to meet him. Verse 49, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it from his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face downward to the ground. Verse 50, so David triumphed over the Philistine giant with only a stone and a sling. And since he had no sword, he ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. Verse 51, David used it to kill the giant and cut off his head. Israel routs the Philistines. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned around and ran. Verse 52, then the Israelites gave a great shout of triumph and rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. The bodies of the dead and wounded Philistines were strewn all along the road from Shaarim, Shaaraim, as far as Gath and Ekron. Verse 53, then the Israelite army returned and plundered the deserted Philistine camp. Verse 54, David took Goliath's head to Jerusalem, but he stored the Philistine's armor in his own tent. Verse 55, as Saul watched David go out to fight Goliath, he asked Abner, the general of his army, quote, Abner, whose son is he? Unquote, quote, I really don't know, unquote, Abner said. Verse 56, quote, well, find out, exclamation mark, unquote, the king told him. Verse 57, after David had killed Goliath, Abner brought him to Saul with the Philistine's head still in his hand. Verse 58, quote, tell me about your father, my boy, Saul said. David replied, quote, his name is Jesse, and we live in Bethlehem, unquote.
Well, praise the Lord. That was chapter 17, 1 Samuel, 58 verses, and now we've got some commentary.
17, verse 1. These events occur a considerable time after David has finished his duties as court musician and returned home, evidently because of the improved condition of Saul. Soko was about 14 miles west of Bethlehem in the foothills of the Judean mountain. 17 verse 4, quote, champion, unquote, is literally a middleman, one who could decide the outcome of a particular battle by one single-handed fight with a similar champion from the opposing side. Gath was a major city of the Philistines not far to the west. 6 cubits and a span is about 9 feet, 9 inches tall, almost 10 feet tall. 17 verse 5. 5,000 shekels of bronze is about 126 pounds.
See, so the average ceiling in a house is 8 feet tall. And so this man's head would stick a foot and 9 inches above the ceiling. He'd have to stoop over walking through, you know, almost every house. Amen? Okay, then what?
17, verse 7. 600 shekels is between 15 and 16 pounds. 17, verse 15. David goes back and forth from supplying music for Saul's periods of insanity to his shepherding for his father, explaining why he's not present with Saul at this time. 17 verse 17. Ephah is about one half bushel. 17 verse 21. Battle array. The two armies take up their battle formations on opposite sides of the ravine. 17 verse 28. Eliab reacts angrily to David's words about the giant. Verse 26. Because he saw them as an insult to the army of Israel. 17 verse 38. Armor refers to the clothes that were worn under the actual armor. 17 verse 39. Tested them. He has not learned to use them. 17 verse 40. Sling. The sling was used with great accuracy as a weapon of war. The Benjamites were so accurate that they were able to split a hair with it. Judges chapter 20, verse 16. They consisted of a small leather pouch with long leather cords attached at the opposite ends. The stone in the pouch was whirled around the head and one end released, sending the stone with great speed towards its target. 17 verse 52. Gath was the hometown of Goliath. Ekron was about 5 miles north of Gath. 17 verse 55. Saul is not discovering David for the first time, but since his intention is to bring David into his military leadership and make him a permanent member of his elite bodyguard, a thorough background check is in order. 17 verse 32 through 37. David was confident that God would deliver him from Goliath's wrath. No matter how important it may have seemed, David was a young shepherd boy armed with sticks and stones. Goliath was a giant of a man armed with a great sword and a spear. In human terms, David didn't have a chance, but with God, he couldn't lose. God is able to provide the victory to all who are willing to trust him. We all face giants in our life, problems that seem that they're just too big.
And yeah, these problems get bigger and bigger if you don't sow the seed. If you're obedient and you sow God's seed into other people, you show mercy unto the Lord. The Lord, by winning souls, show mercy to other people, which if you sow seed, they'll become part of the body of Christ, and he needs a body to work in. We need Christ in us as our head, and he needs a body to work in this world. And it's his design that he works in human bodies. That may seem stupid to a carnal person, but that's the way God planned it. That's the way he works, is through human bodies. And if you let the Lord work in your body and you just get out there and distribute literature, not questioning or saying, this seems stupid to me and I can do more at the house, or I'm going to earn my way by typing or reading or praying. No, you read and pray. You have to do that. Those two things are very important as well. But you have to sow seed. Otherwise, you're going to be a tree that does not bring forth fruit, and God said he'll hew you down and throw you in the fire. Okay? And so if you do those things, then when these big troubles come your way, the Lord will pull you right out of it. Because you are concerned about others, he'll be concerned about you. That's the way this Jewish God works. And God is a Jew. And you Gentiles and Muslims don't like that. That's the way it is. Okay, then what else?
And these problems are too big for us to face alone without Jesus. But even when the odds are...
Yeah, and we won't have Jesus if we don't do what he says. And he says, sow seed. Or else. And then you're none of his. And you don't deserve any blessings or getting you out of the hole. Okay, you're out of the ditch. But if everybody's going to fall into some... perilous things, but the perilous things that we fall into is that we become lovers of our own self and our own way, and instead of the Lord's way. And no matter how crazy it seems, when everything, the flak is hitting from every side, just get a bunch of tracts and get out there on the streets and start distributing them. Okay? And you'll see God will pull you through. Because he knows that you're obedient to his way, and you're not conjuring something up in your stupid carnal brain to do it your way. Because your way doesn't hold any water with the Lord. Okay? That's just the way it is. Well, if I see some flack hitting from some side, I always start checking out. Am I sowing enough seed? Am I bringing enough messages? Am I doing this enough or that enough? And then the Lord will say, here's the... Boy, and then I'll go right into it because I know that... all the flack will stop. There's Muslims that are sending death threats to me all the time and stuff like that, and I just say, Lord, is there anything going to happen to me from this? I mean, are they really going to do what they say they're going to do? And he says, absolutely not. Hallelujah! Amen. Because you're doing my will. Okay, boy, they send these real weird-looking letters and writing on it and everything, and so everybody can see. And I say, well, Lord... will you take care of them for me, please? And he says, yes. Amen. So that's comforting. Amen?
Amen.
That's real comforting to know, because all I'm going to do is just sow seed, sow seed, sow seed, sow seed. You know? And when people are sick, yeah, I'm going to take care of them, send them vitamins, minerals, pray for them. You know, that they preach them, showing them in the Word where they've been healed already. Because what good would it do for me to just pray for them without sowing the seed of faith into their heart to be able to receive that which the Lord has already provided for them already? So the seed, I'm going to preach to them the knowledge of God so that they can know what they have already received. You look in the second chapter of Ephesians and you'll see that salvation has already been provided for us, and all that the same power of God that dwelt in the Lord Jesus Christ still is, it's in us. We have it already, but we have to know that in order to be able to act upon it. And when he says sow a seed, you know what to do. Okay, somebody tells you to go wash your hands, you know what to do. Okay, well, it's just that simple. Go pass out tracts, get the literature out, sow seed, invite people to church, witness to them. Before you pray for them, tell them what the Bible says. Sow some seed into them so that they can, so that can grow into them instantly, and that they can say, oh God, it says that, I receive it. I just like these people that read the literature, they just receive it and they receive the Lord. And then if you say, you notice when I pray for people in here over the telephone or wherever, I always tell them what the Bible says. Amen? Because I sowed the seed of faith into them, and then they reach out in faith, and then they receive the healing for themselves. Amen?
Amen.
But it's the seed, the Word, that gives them the faith to be able to receive their healing. You don't just say, somebody comes to you and starts asking you to pray for them because they're sick. You don't just say, well, okay, Father, heal them in Jesus' name. No, you tell them, now listen, okay, the Lord has already healed you, okay? It's a done deal. It says that in all these things are provided for you. And the Bible tells you in the 6th chapter of Ephesians to put on the full armor of God. Know what you have so that you are able to defend yourself from the wiles or the lies or the deceptions of Satan. Satan, all he can do, he's a defeated foe. He has no power. All the Christians, most Christians I know, think that the devil's got such tremendous power and everything. He has no power whatsoever except to deceive. And if he can sow seeds of deception into you to where you don't believe the Lord anymore, well then, of course, nothing is available to you from the Lord, because the Lord honors those that believe his word. Amen?
Amen.
And so you have to believe who you are. So the Lord says, you are the, you have the Spirit, all the faith that you need. You don't need any more faith. You just need to know the power that is living in you. Christ is in you, and all that means all the power of the universe is in you. But you've got to know that and believe that in order for you to put that into action. Amen?
Amen.
So it's very important to learn the Word of God, because the Word of God tells you what you have. And you could start out with the 2nd and 6th chapter of Ephesians, because that's that whole book, the book of the Ephesians, those are the ones, the you people of Ephesus, so, you know, you are all together too superstitious. Amen?
Amen.
And so you believe in Diana, and so he says that he went in there, and he started telling them about Jesus, sowing the word of faith into them, and then they started believing in the Lord. And all these people that built idols, these statues and everything, they started losing money, and so they wanted to kill him. Amen? They made these little idols. But he didn't go in there and say, oh God, he'd go in some shack someplace and start praying, oh, save him, save him, save him, save him, save him in Jesus' name, save him in Jesus' name, oh God. Lord says, save him. You go out. I told you, get out and preach the word. Deliver the word to him. Amen?
Amen.
You get out there. What are you? You're sending me to save them? I live in you so that I can go about in you to save souls. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the whole story is. That's the story, Morning Glory. All right? And if you're such a glorious thing, you get out there and preach the word. My word will glorify me by the souls that you win by sowing the seed. my word. Okay, so go ahead.
But even when the odds are stacked against us, we can't lose if God is on our side.
Well, and God is on your side if you keep His commandments, if you preach the word. Amen?
Amen.
But if you don't, He's not on your side. Don't expect anything good to happen to you. Not only will He not do anything for you, but He's going to hew you down. Okay? Try to remember this. I try to always think of phrases that will stick in people's brains like the hair in a drain. Okay? He'll hew you down. Let's see what rhymes. If you want to be a clown. Okay? So preach the word so that you can be heard. And people can be part of this great speckled bird.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But if you're not concerned about people of all races to be in the Holy Spirit, which is the great speckled bird, well, then you're going to get hewn down. Don't be a clown or the Lord will hew you down. Okay, get out there and preach the word. Okay? All right, then what?
We are more than conquerors with Christ.
Yes, we are. If we do what Christ says. If He tells you to go out and witness and testify, and you just stay at home and say, I'm not going to, then what do you think He's going to do for you? What you're doing is thumbing your nose at the Lord. And don't think that He won't thumb His nose back at you. What you sow, you're going to reap. He says He'll mock at you too when you're dying and your soul's going out to hell, and He'll laugh at you too. Read first chapter of Proverbs. Then what else? And the many other verses in the Bible. Go ahead.
17, verse 45 through 47. David squared off against Goliath.
Sure. The Lord put it in his heart. I believe in God. I believe God will do this. And the Spirit of the Lord got on him, and he just went down there and knew that he could do it because he felt the Spirit of the Lord on him. What would happen if he would have just stayed up there and ate part of those 10 cheeses? How nauseating. How literally nauseating. Okay, what else?
He knew that in human terms he didn't have a chance. His courage came from his recognition that the battle belonged to God.
Yes, because God said so. His word, His spirit, His seed says so. Let His seed be sown into you and multiply and grow so that you'll have the same faith that David had. Then what else?
Like David, we are helpless in the battles we face without God's intervention.
Right, the literature I write, if it wasn't the Lord, nobody would be getting saved and saying, what a great person I am. All I'm doing is putting down what the Lord says. Don't be trying to exalt me because I ain't going for it. Okay? No one's going to try to build me up, you know, and I'm not going to receive it. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to be puffed up. Why, there's people in this church that, you know, if they give a good testimony, they get so puffed up, I'm afraid that they're going to, if you put a pin in them, they'd splatter all over the walls. God, or they sing a song, you know, a little song. And people give them compliments. They strut around like they're, a bullfighter in Mexico or something. Go ahead, what else?
But with God, the victory is certain. We may feel powerless, even though we know we are standing for that which is right.
Mm-hmm.
But even when this is true, we still mustn't give up. Sometimes situations where we feel powerless can prompt action that changes everything for the better. David, quote, saw Goliath, the champion from Gath, come out from the Philistine ranks, shouting his challenge to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright, unquote. Quote, have you seen the giant? The men were asking. He comes out each day to challenge Israel. David convinced the king to let him fight the giant his own way. He shouted to Goliath, quote, "You come to me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you," unquote. 1 Samuel 17, verse 23 through 25 and 45 through 46.
Right, and Goliath said, "Am I a dog?" All unbelieving people are said to be dogs by Jesus himself. Okay? Goats, dogs, chaff. But when you believe, you're not a dog anymore. So, of course, when he said, "Am I a dog?" David's in his heart said, "Yes, you are. You are a dog, and I'm going to take your head off," right?
Right.
Decapitate you. Okay, what else?
The Israelite soldiers saw themselves as helpless victims. The powerlessness paralyzed them with fear, so they just stood there and took the verbal abuse.
And ate cheese. Like so many rats. A rata. Okay, then what?
David took courageous action to cover their dignity. There are times, and sometimes many times, when we need courage and God's help to fight against dependency to remain a victim.
And we can't have courage unless we're doing what the Lord says, unless we're distributing literature. When we do that, then we know the Lord loves us. Amen?
Amen.
Well, he loves us without doing that. No, he doesn't. He says he'll hew you down and throw you into the fire. Does that sound like love?
No.
Okay? Don't be silly. You silly goose. Okay, then what?
We need courage to fight against the thing by which we've become a victim. So we need to stand up for our human dignity and for the Lord, to respond in the way that the Holy Spirit leads us to go.
Yeah, but we can't act as dignified people. John the Baptist didn't act dignified, did he?
No.
Or Elijah?
No.
No. Or anybody that's really of the Lord. The dignity of that we're part of the body of Christ, that's the dignity, you know? But still, we're rough. The Lord is calling a bunch of characters together in these last days. You know, real characters. You know, people that are rough and ready. And, you know, they just don't care what people think about them. They just do what the Lord says. And to them, most people, they get offended at people like that. But these rough and ready guys, they don't care what people think. You know, we're crude. And we'll actually even eat chicken with our fingers, you know. Every so often, some of it will get in our beard. My wife will have to pick it out, you know, say, "Honey, do you want to go out there with that part of that drumstick on your beard?" "Oh, no, thanks, honey. You know, thanks for taking it out. Okay, I appreciate it here." Okay, let's go on.
We must, in the Spirit of the Lord, claim the victory. 17, verse 52.
And we have the victory if we do what the Lord says. It says, the Bible says, we have the victory if we keep his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And we know that we're of the Lord if we keep his commandments, but you're not of the Lord or I'm not of the Lord if we don't keep his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
As in some Greek manuscripts, Hebrew reads, quote, "a valley," unquote.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I hope you're not in the valley of decision. I hope you've already decided that you're going to come with the Lord and be one of us characters here in the last day that compose the body of Christ. We're a bunch of crude kind of people, but in our own way, special way. We're not dignified like the Pharisees and Sadducees that wear long robes and speak, you know, in Baptist type words like, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here this day together," and so on and so forth. We just preach it plain and like it is, you know, like the Lord does. And so if you are, you're going to be saved. And, you know, all you need to do is say, "Lord, come into my heart, wash me in your precious blood, and fill me with your Spirit." And then get on the phone or call or write or whatever and get some of this literature, and we'll send you a Bible if you don't have one. Amen? Okay, and then always remember, the Lord wants you to meditate on him day and night, to remember these things that we've always remember, you know, We've got to witness. We've got to testify. We have to mail out tracts. We can't get out on the streets and mail the literature out. Encourage people to get it out. Help get it out by helping me get together the footnotes and all the other things. Whatever you can do to help get the literature out. Work in the room, the mail-out room. Or work packing the literature and the tapes and whatever. But meditate on the Lord day and night in His Word and stay warm. Stay warm, amen, in the Lord, in the Spirit. And until chapter 18, this is Tony Alama, your pastor. And if I'm not, I want to be. Saying praise the Lord and God bless you. Amen.